in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
I went to the dark. Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining me here tonight on Revelation on the Trim Radio Network. I want to thank all of you for coming, and I ask, please, hey, share this episode with as many people as you can. And tonight's episode has to do with a subject I touched on last week, and I figured, okay, well, it's time. Let's do this. Human trafficking, child sacrifice, human sacrifice, the bloodletting that has been going on, historically speaking, and we'll get into that in a minute, but 3,500 years, do the math. That puts it back before the days of Noah, or during the days of Noah, actually. But pre-flood. And 3,500 years, back to the mid, and that's the earliest trace that they can find. You may argue that Abel was a sacrifice, and he was sacrificed by Cain, because the issue was over sacrificing. Abel gave the best that he had. Cain just picked stuff out of the garden. He sold his birthright. So anyway, but what we could see it historically, and that the archaeologists can actually find, starts about 3,500 years ago. But this subject totally drained me doing the research for it. Very difficult material to get through, and it bothered me greatly. And because of that, I'm going to start tonight's show a little bit differently. I'm going to say a prayer. Jehovah, may you protect us from the evils of this wicked system of demonic worship, this alien demonic, satanic worship. May you protect all of us, all of our family, all of your people, and all of the children on the planet. In Jesus' name I ask it, and so it is. This has been going on to time, like I said, 3,500 years ago. And here's an interesting, couple of interesting little side notes. And the first thing that I'm going to do is read Deuteronomy. And it kind of starts with the 9th chapter. And this is to the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes before they entered the Holy Land. And God said to them, or it's written in verse 9, when you are entered into the land that Jehovah your God is giving you, you must not learn to do according to the detestable things of those nations. The detestable things of those nations. What was detestable? There should not be any found in you, anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, anyone who employs divination, a practicer of magic, or anyone who looks for omens, or a sorcerer, or one who binds others with a spell, or anyone who consults a spirit medium, a professional fortune teller of events, anyone who inquires of the dead. For these things, for doing these things is something detestable to Jehovah. On account of these detestable things, Jehovah your God is driving them away from before you. You should prove yourself faultless with Jehovah your God. But these were the things that they were told to stay away from. And actually, these things were, it was considered death-dealing events. And it actually did lead to the death of Israel and Judea in extreme amount. Before the Babylonians came in, according to the historical record, the population was deeply, they weren't keeping the Sabbath, and they were deeply ingrained in worshiping Baal. And so Baal has been around since the time of the Canaanites. Who is Baal? We would say Baal is the personification, well, the God personification of Satan, of the devil. Certainly he has to be one of the chief gods to require live human sacrifice, child sacrifice. And in the Valley of Hinnom, which is in Jerusalem today, they did an archaeological dig a few years ago, and they found the remains of over 20,000 infants. Their bones were burned, being sacrificed to Baal. Mostly infants and children up to the age of two. Can you imagine taking your two-year-old child, or maybe your grandchild, and throwing them into a furnace alive? Because this idol wants you to throw your children into the fire? But Baal wasn't the only god that required human sacrifice. But it's interesting, as you go through the cultures, that was child sacrifice, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the show. But as we go through the historical cultures, one of the most notorious, absolutely notorious people for human sacrifice was the Aztecs. The Aztecs would sacrifice 20,000 people a year. They found in this temple, it's right in Mexico City, or it's at right in Mexico City. So, yeah, that was the center of the Aztec Empire. And from there, the empire sacrificed 20,000 people a year. Riscolo, why don't we put up a picture here as I'm talking about that? Might as well just go to picture number two, if you would. Picture number two. This is an artist's rendition of what that temple would have looked like. It was actually the fourth or fifth temple. They kept on rebuilding it on the same core. And there's one researcher that says that they may have sacrificed throughout the Aztec kingdom up to over 80,000 people in one sacrifice. Could you imagine? Let's go to picture number two. Could you imagine what those long white stairs going up to that temple where they were sacrificing humans and then kicking their corpses down the stairs? Could you imagine the blood that was running down those stairs? If we could have picture number three, Riscolo. Yeah. This was what was being carried out. one after another after another after another after another. And who was the God that they were sacrificing these people to? A version of Baal. It was a God that controlled the weather and the seas, considered to be the chief God. Now, how do you go from the Middle East to South America and have basically the same belief system? As a matter of fact, child sacrifice has been going on all around the world for almost every culture. And it's still being carried on today. And that's probably the worst part. It's still being carried out today. And to the same God. You know the Epstein files? God, I hate to say this. Yeah, how many times have we talked about the Epstein files? Allegedly, in the Epstein files, Epstein's inner circle was accused of child sacrifice and cannibalism. You know, the little Epstein Island with the little temple on it. I didn't grab a picture of that, but I'll get. Can you go to picture, let's see, picture number four, I guess it is, yes. The Ark of Baal. Oh, what's that in the background? This is not Photoshopped either, folks. This is actually, that might be trying to make a connection and play a video, but anyway, there's the picture. This is the gate to the city of Baal, which is in Palmyra, Assyria. And this is an exact copy that an artist did. And I guess that they're like heavy foam blocks that are all put together. And it came on tour to America. I believe it was in Central Park. Here you can see it in Washington, D.C. Hillary wanted to give a speech from the Ark of Baal, the gateway of Baal. And she was advised not to. A little bit too obvious there, Hillary. But yeah, that's what she wanted to do. But there it stood, the Arch of Baal. What's on the other side of that arch? Riscala, what do you see? We have the capital of the United States of America, which is an image, that domed image right there is basically a replica of St. Peter's Cathedral. Look at it, Washington.
Do you know when they did this, Peter?
Oh, shucks. No, but no. You can find it online. I didn't write the date down.
I don't remember this, but you mentioned that they took styrofoam and formed it and then made it look like that. Is that how they did it?
They were heavy. And if you look at the actual, the one that's still there, photographed, it's an identical copy. But they took this identical copy from the city of Baal. In Palmyra, Syria, and they were putting it on tour. I guess for the Baal worshippers, because nobody else would understand what that actually is.
Wow. I don't remember any of that, but wow.
Yeah, wow. Was it 2020, or maybe it was when it may have been earlier than that. But yeah, Hillary had said to have wanted to give a speech from the Arch of Baal. So it may have been, you know, on the first go-round of their election. Yeah, it's a gateway. It's a portal.
I know, but I mean, if I do a search, do I search Arch of Baal or Ark of Baal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's kind of what I did. We have to go through and I do remember this. And so that's why I wanted to go back and get it. I couldn't remember the cities that it was in. I know it was in New York City, and obviously here it's in Washington, D.C. Think of who's in power in Congress. Friends of the social elite? Could they be friends of the inner circle? Think about it. There was a Dutch banker, Ronald Gerard, I think his name was, or Gerard Ronald. He's got a first and last name that can both be first names. But anyway, yeah, he's dead now, but his YouTube video should still be floating around. He was high ranking in the banking system. Yeah, there you go, all sorts of archibalds. But he was high ranking in the banking system, and he came into the inner circle, and he went to an Eyes Wide Shut party, and he was a member of that club, and then they took him to the next level, which included live child sacrifice, and that's where he had to draw the line, and he became a whistleblower, and now he's a dead whistleblower. Get too close to the truth, and they're going to come after you. It happened with me in 2012, I think it was, when I first went down this rat hole. And there was a YouTube video. It was just a sound clip of you know, guy on being interviewed on the radio, and Dr. Levine or something like that. I forget the actual doctor's name. But he was being interviewed, and he said, "Yeah, we sacrifice your children. We grind them up, the remains up, and we feed them to you in fast food restaurants."
That was Dr. Finkelstein. I mean, Rabbi Finkelstein.
There you go, Rabbi. But wasn't he a doctor as well? Maybe not. Maybe he's just a rabbi. But yeah, and boy, he was very matter of fact about that. And I was like, come on, nobody's going to talk, say this. And I started digging into it, and it was like, holy hell. And I was on Facebook back then. I started posting things about child sacrifice on Facebook. I'm not going to get into what I found there, but it was less than 24 hours. Somebody I never chatted with on Facebook wrote me and said, if you continue down this path, they will come, they will find you, and they will kill you. And it was like, wonderful. Okay, here's one rat hole I don't need to go down. There's so many other rat holes. And there were. And come on, let's face it, over the last 10 years, the majority of us have run out of conspiracies. We got to find new ones. But here's one that's right in front of us, and it's not actually a conspiracy. It's a way of life for these people. It's what they do. It's the gods that they worship. Think about that for a minute. The people who are making those laws for us are worshiping gods that require live child sacrifice. Think about that. Let's see. Picture number five, I think, if we could, Riscala. And this is exactly what we have going on, the return of Baal worship by the deep state. By the deep state. A god who requires live human sacrifice. A god who loves to see war. A god who would love to see the human race wipe itself out before him. But to his followers, oh, you guys can live underground. And by 2045, we'll have the technology where we could turn you all into hard, light, silicone systems. And you'll never have to die. Eat that fruit, you're going to die. Oh, no, you won't. Wait a minute. Hard, light? Now you are part of the Matrix. Hard photons. And that's part of the 2045 agenda, to go from biologically carbon-based life forms to silicon life forms. That we should sacrifice ourselves for this God Baal, that is part, a major part of the satanic system of evil. So influential because he's most likely the god of money right now. You want more money? Sacrifice more children. You want more power? You got to sacrifice a kid. You want more fame? Member of your own family's got to go, soul for soul. Yeah. It's all around us.
Peter.
Yes, sir.
Some of what you said may sound off the wall to people, but in my research and my readings, there are celebrities who have said they couldn't come right out and admit exactly what you said, but you're very accurate in what you described. They were very reluctant to come out and just openly say that, but... they talked about having to make sacrifices that deeply wounded them and was difficult for them for the rest of their lives. They would have to live with these decisions that they made. These are just some of the stories that I've heard. Now I'm paraphrasing, yeah. But that's basically what they said.
Hello, Whitney Houston. No, goodbye, Whitney Houston. May you rest in peace. And she's just one. Probably a more famous one. But yeah, it's all part of this Baal worship, which is being thrown into our face and carried out at the highest levels. When we go to Babylon the Great's destruction, and I didn't have plans to include this tonight because I'm just going to wind up repeating it in a later show, and maybe next week, who knows? But in chapter 18, give me a second. In chapter 18, we have, and it's interesting, and this is where religion has nothing to do with our relationship with our Creator. If you go to Revelation 18:2, and this angel cries out with a strong voice saying, "She has fallen, Babylon the Great has fallen, and she has become a dwelling place of demons and a lurking place of every unclean exaltation and a lurking place of every unclean and hated bird." And it's in verse 4, John hears another voice, and it says, another voice out of heaven, and it says, "Get out of her, my people, if you do not want to share with her in her sins, and if you do not want to receive part of her plagues, for her sins have massed together clear up to heaven, and God has called her acts of injustice to mind." Job of the eighth king to carry out the judgment against Babylon the Great. But as you read what is going on, all the merchants are really upset when Babylon the Great falls, because the church, look how much the church actually consumes in the finery in the better things. To think of every church around the planet and the cost that it takes to run that operation, and it's all the best of everything, golden altars and chalices and tremendous amount of money that is spent. And as you go through, it's right here, and the best perfumes and the best of meats and the best. It's interesting, the latter part of verse 13, it gets down and it also says these merchants are crying because they can't sell what? Their slaves and human souls. Wait a minute. Slaves and human souls? Interesting. It's Ruskell, I got that message. Anyway, yeah, that's, did you hear what I said? I just flipped screens here just for a second. I wanted to make sure I didn't lose you.
Where were you reading that out of, Peter?
What? This is Revelation chapter 18, and it's verse 13, the latter part of verse 13. Slaves and human souls. Slaves and human souls. Yeah. Something to ponder. Something to think about. And it's because of
look it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that's on the list. Now, what's the difference between a slave and a soul? A human soul. What would you use a human soul for? Sacrifice? Interesting. And so it's right there in Scripture. And indeed, that's where this can be tracked clear on up to. Right to the Vatican. And once you start looking and digging into that, we might do more of that next week, but the ninth circle, the popes that were the priests that are involved in pedophilia. Shall we just go up the ladder? Think about it. Because the ladder does go all the way right up to the Vatican. And that's part of taking down Babylon the Great. Why? Because she traffics in human souls. Not just slaves, but souls. And what do the gods want? They care about the body? No, they kick the body down the stairs. They didn't give a darn about the body. It was that heart, the beating heart, the seat of motivation. And the one thing about the heart is once you remove it, the blood can no longer pump through the veins, and within the blood is the energy which creates our soul. It's our living consciousness. It can be our dead consciousness, too. Once our body's dead, Elvis leaves the building. And that's, take it from somebody who's been there, done that. And that's the only, all souls are required back to Jehovah, and there's a reason for that. We all become part of his memory, and when you take the soul, take the human DNA, put them back together, and reconstitute that same person right back here on earth, and that's what the resurrection's about. So it isn't all grim and gory, but it's something that we need to be well aware of and comprehend what is actually going on. Ruskell, can we go to picture number 7? Wait, no, let's go to picture number 6. I'm sorry, number six. In regards to what I said before, Epstein, Baal demon worship, sacrifice rumors. Okay, now we can jump over. But yeah, that crowd, and remember, he was just the facilitator. He was just the facilitator.
He's not the only one.
No, there's not at more. All. Yep, absolutely.
There's more of them out there.
Yep. Picture number seven, because here's an interesting thing, and this is where people give their power to, and that they're not even aware that they're doing it. You see, this is giving celebration, and what you see there is a wooden skeletal structure loaded with people. And do you know what they do with this? Raskola, if we can go to picture number eight. They set it on fire. And every year out in the desert, there's the Burning Man celebration. Now, I'm not saying that they put people in that, but that's what they used to do and then set it on fire. They're going through the same ritual without sticking people inside the Burning Man. But they're holding a celebration. And they don't have a clue why. Oh, Burning Man, they're going to light it on fire. How many know what the original Burning Man were meant for? A live human sacrifice to a god, to an alien god that requires human souls, human bodies, that requires the death of humans. Think about that. So let's jump to picture number nine, if we could. Alien gods, isn't that what the Egyptians had? The head of a falcon, the body of a man. You know, the head of a crocodile, the body of the man. The head of an ibis, the body of a man. They had gods for everything. The Greek gods, where we, you know, because of Greek mythology, most people are familiar with the Greek gods. Now, the only thing I could say about the Greek gods is I couldn't, while they did engage in massive war, which is the next subject. Well, they really didn't engage, at least not openly, or where it was recorded anyway, in live human sacrifice. Rome, here. What? Yeah.
The picture that we have up right now, this is the, I can't remember what they refer to them as, but you know that I have an Egyptian background. My yep. brother-in-law, his bloodline comes from the pharaohs. When many, many years ago, when he was visiting here in America, we got to talking about certain things, the pyramids and things like that. And I mentioned this being, and I said to him, people believe that this was real at one time. And he looked at me straight face, just as sure as he was going to say the sun is going to shine tomorrow. And he said, absolutely. These were real yeah. beings at one time, walking the face of the earth. That freaked me out.
What they perceived, what these people perceived, and because they were shapeshifters, they could appear as anything that they wanted. The interesting thing about in Egypt, while there was human sacrifice, it wasn't that prevalent, and it was more associated with death, if anything. But you know, somebody important dies, yeah, you're gonna need these in the afterlife. Sorry, virgins, we can't fit 72, but you know, a half a dozen are good for you. not that they've actually recorded anything like that, but there is the at least part of a myth, and a lot of cultures actually did that, especially in the Far East. It was when somebody important died, they sacrificially killed the wife and some other women, you know, that were going to be servants. And it was all part of a ritual sacrifice. So, you know, but right now it's more focused to our generation. And part of that sacrifice, and in the Mosaic law, here's an interesting thing, and I don't know if you knew this, Riscala. If you caused a woman to have an abortion, if you hurt a woman and she aborted the child, that was a death dealing offense. You took another life, and so it was a death dealing offense. Now, if you hit a pregnant woman, fell down, aborted the baby, yeah. How many abortions have been done since Roe versus Wade? And there's the ultimate child sacrifice. Kill them before they can get out of the womb. How satanic is that? How demonic is that? To kill the life before it can leave the womb. That's only, we don't have to feed it then. Not a drain on society. And we can use it as a primary method of birth control so they don't populate. Yeah, I wonder what the birth rate is going to be over the next 10 years. Interesting. And so by one way or another, whether it was through injection, infection, or abortion, the birth rate, or just change in society. I've heard a lot of young people have said, I don't want to raise a kid in this. This is crazy. And there are other people that, yeah, I want to have children. God bless you and your children. May your offspring become like the stars of heaven. But for us right now, we need to know what we're dealing with. And so guard these children well. They are precious to us. Let's see. Why don't we go to picture number 10? I'm going to leave this one up here probably for the rest of the show, unless, Riscala, you can find other things you want to add in. Here's some statistics that are put up. This is the work of Dr. Flora Leos Maduro. And if you look up at the top on the right-hand column, it's alleged, and these are alleged to be the Justice Department's numbers as of 2015, human trafficking grosses $31.6 trillion. Think about that. Think about that. $31 trillion. How many of them wind up as human souls? The Catholic Church has plenty of Catholic orphanages around the planet, thousands. A source for human souls.
I had no idea.
Yeah, there was an article that came out, you probably find it online, where the Catholic Church of Spain is guilty of what they make. They stole basically I think it was 300,000 children.
What?
Yeah, what it would do, infants, newborns, and they were sold. They were trafficked. People from poor families, you know, mothers from poor families, single women, whatever, that they would anesthetize the woman during delivery and take the baby and tell the woman, oh, we're sorry, but the baby died and we've already disposed of the body. It went on from the mid-50s until the 70s. Yeah, 300,000 children. What do you get per infant, newborn? And then you have the flip side of that, organ harvesting. Chinese very guilty of organ harvesting. Organ harvesting became its own industry back in the 80s and 90s in South America. Tourists go down there, want to go see the jungle, and never come back out. And the number one buyer of those organs, Israel. The number one buyer. No waiting. In China, they've got the Uyghurs and some other select people that they don't have any use for, and they match up their DNA, and, oh, we need a liver. Yep, you check out. Let's go. Sick, sick people. Welcome to communism over there. You know, it's one thing if you're abducted by terrorists. It's another thing if it's a government-run organization. That's pretty sick. But then again, you want to talk about human sacrifice? Wherever communism has gone, just about in Russia, a third of the population died. In China, a third of the population died. And it's probably best documented in Cambodia, where when the Khmer Rouge came in, a third of the population died. And we got the movie The Killing Fields. But the reality is probably far worse. So that's, you know, we need a better government. I think Jesus talked about, oh yeah, my kingdom will come, or God's kingdom. But he told his disciples, preach the good news of the kingdom. It was not religious. It's political. Hey, you got to give everybody a warning. Here's what's coming. And this is why. Because this type of a system cannot go on. This type of a system will bring our extinction one way or another. This type of system cannot exist. And Rascal, I don't know if you ducked out yet or not, but you mentioned before the show that the research that you were doing into chemtrails is like they're terraforming the planet. Yeah. Yeah. The planet is changing. But their ultimate goal is nuclear exchange. And we'll have to see how all that works out. Hello, Golden Dome. You know, that's it's interesting. We'll have to watch what happens as these political leaders harangue each other around the planet to continue to exterminate more humans. And so that's where it leaves us. So we have to be aware. We have to expose what is going on here. And hey, pay attention to our children and our grandchildren. Better days are coming. But we've got to deal with the issues that we have in front of us right now. And so that's where we are in the stream of time. We see things changing. Will they change for the better? Well, you know, we go back to prior shows where Revelation chapter 9, the key to the pit of the abyss is opened. I believe that the key was the knowledge to build CERN and to open up the dimensional doorway, and they released Apollyon, the destroying angel, the king of the pit of the abyss, and the hordes that were down there with him. And they go on persecuting the hordes, attack the men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads, and they sting the men as scorpions do, and the men die for and pray for death, but death keeps escaping them. So we may be in a turn of events here. We're going to have to watch how the rest of this year plays out, how next year plays out, as we talked about last week. Okay, well, they declared independence. Now how many years are we going to be in a war? First Revolutionary War was 8 years. The question is, when did this Revolutionary War start? You know, the United States declared its independence. And now it's got to take down the enemy. Well, who's the enemy? The Crown Corporation of the City of London, run by those who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying, those from the Synagogue of Satan. The Synagogue of Satan, would that be a place where they probably carry on live child sacrifice and cannibalism? Yeah. The inner circles of the social elite with their adrenochrome habits. And we can't, you know, we can't leave out Hillary. Frazzle drip anybody? Yeah, that's what these monsters have done to children. That's what they've done to children. In some disgusting God's name. And so here's an interesting flip side. They did these acts, and they do these acts for alien gods. And so now we're going to have UFO disclosure. We're going to have alien disclosure. Are they going to disclose who these gods are who require live human sacrifice? Oh, it's the reptilians. Yeah, that would be a good start, considering that it was a reptilian in the Garden of Eden. Was a serpent. And say a serpent what? A serpent. I was a snake. No, his punishment was to crawl on his belly in the dust like a snake. Could have been a dragon. Because in Revelation chapter 12, we get an extraterrestrial dragon-like organization with that is called the fire, the seven-headed, ten-horned, fire-colored dragon. We've talked about that in a previous show. Serpent worship, second most popular on the planet, right behind sun worship. Yep. And factions of those require live human sacrifice, whether through war or ritual sacrifice, because some wars are rituals. Take a look at we have really three factions, but there are two death cults. You've got the Shia Muslims, and you've got the Chabad Jews, both death cults, both thinking when they bring on Armageddon, it'll bring their Messiah. Let's look at the, and they want to kill each other, right? Now, here's the interesting logic that they both want to enter a war to kill each other and show who's right. Talk about the ultimate family feud. This is all, these are children of Abraham, Esau, I'm sorry, Ishmael and Isaac, basically. Ishmael was always persecuting Isaac. He was much older. He was a teenager. You know, Isaac was a little boy. And but he became a great nation as well as Isaac. And so now they're fighting each other again. You know, it's like, seriously, you want to kill each other to bring the Messiah. Christians are like the true followers of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Those who look for a kingdom solution, not a religious one, comprehend that, hey, it's not our fight. My kingdom isn't part of this world yet. You guys go help yourself. But that's now not how it's going to end. And we'll have to see what kind of result we get when Babylon the Great does fall. I'll guarantee it's not going to be Chrislam, but you never know what kind of propaganda that they want to pitch on us, so nothing would surprise me. But those power centers are going to be destroyed. Think about it. Think about every church in your community just out of business. They become they become thrift stores, they become offices, they become fancy homes. All the property that is owned by the church confiscated. That's what they did during the Reformation in Germany. Some of the princes said, hey, here's a chance. And they scapped up, that they took all of the religious buildings that the church owned and they turned them into universities. Our fleshy parts would be eaten up, as Revelation 17 says. They would strip her bare, expose the child trafficking, the human trafficking, the sacrificing of souls, the enslavement of people, the stealing of wealth. That'll all be exposed. And henceforth, you know, it's like, hey, if you're a part of this organization, you get a message, time to get out. Get out of her, my people. I always wondered, why are God's people in Babylon the Great? They're being held captive. Whether through ideology, through fear of burning in hell, because my family did it.
Well, I'm a Baal worshiper, but I'm not really a good Baal worshiper. I don't sacrifice anybody, man.
What?
Well, I only go on holidays. And it's been a few years.
and these people have no sense of the times in which we live and very little sense of their own spirituality. And that's one of the great things about all of you folks who listen to what I say, is that we share a spirituality. You see, it's active information. It's something that you say, hey, yeah, he's right. I'm not saying that I'm always right, but I've got a lot of experience in education in this. And when it walks like a duck and talks talks like a duck. Yeah, I'll call that a duck. Might be a funny looking one, but let's call him Donald for now. So that's kind of where we are in this strange system in which we live. And because it's of such uncertain times, we need to be prepared. And this is something that I've said for quite some time, and I'll continue to say. We need to be prepared for what is around us, what we're facing, the situations before us. If you live in a city, you know, if you live in New York City right now, what are you still doing there? Unless it's not really as bad as what they're saying. But I kind of doubt that because it seems to have been a mass exodus so far. But if you live in New York City, don't you think it's time to, you know, look for a more safe place to be? I had a friend who worked on the 55th floor of the Empire State Building, and he lived over on the east side. I think he was about the 30th floor in his high-rise apartment when Hurricane Sandy came through. It was a joy. They were without power for a week, over a week down there. And the elevators didn't work, and the toilets didn't flush. Think about that. After that, he moved to, he bought a house in Connecticut. At least he's out of the city. Could you imagine having to walk down 30 flights of stairs? But worse, when you get back and then you got to get to your office, you just take the day off, but that's it. But imagine not being able to flush your toilet for a week. How many people are in this family? Oh, my God. Plan. Work the plan. I guarantee you very little food was going in and out. And I remember people on the news, where's FEMA? FEMA hasn't shown up yet. We need FEMA help. Because you weren't prepared. Because you weren't prepared. Now, think what you want about FEMA. But be prepared. If you have a family, you've got a family to be prepared for, or get prepared. If you're by yourself, okay, it makes traveling a little bit easier. How far can you walk in a day on foot? How are you going to get to where you want to go? Unless you're already there. And so I would encourage everybody to, you know, take a hard look around where you live. Is this where you want to be when if things really go sour? Shut the lights out for a week and see what happens. Think about it. Iran wanted to. Trump didn't come home in his new aircraft that was sent to a military base, I guess, for inspection. But it's alleged that there was a threat against Trump's life, and allegedly the Turkish intelligence agency said, hey, Iran is going to do something here, and you're in the crosshairs. So we strongly recommend you don't fly that plane back home. Okie dokie, word to the wise. So what was done? How they got to whatever it was, maybe they had something that was going to lock on that plane signal that it couldn't jam. I don't know. Created a flaw in it, but it was sent to Europe instead. Oh, the troops want to see Air Force One. Like, the troops really give a darn, you know? So it's... You never get a straight answer out of Washington, and maybe sometimes it's better that we don't get a straight answer from Washington. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared, and we need to be able to take action in a second. I used to listen to Wano Saban a lot, and not so much anymore. But there's something that he always said is that America is going to get to a near-death experience. Well, yeah. I'm not going to argue with that. They want to take down the monetary system, which is controlled by the City of London. It's not going to be pretty. Major hits on the stock market. Major hits on investments, especially if you're holding bonds. And whatever, something is going to turn around and trigger that financial system to collapse. Now, it was back in, I think, the late 70s, early 80s. I used to live literally right next door to West Point. They were my neighbors to the south. But regardless, I had a friend who knew one of the generals. And the general told him, he said, you know, the whole thing about winning a nuclear war is not who gets destroyed, you know, and not how much damage you take, but the winner is the one who can get their banking system back online the fastest. And at that time, this is going back to the early 80s, late 70s, at that time, he said that they already have euros printed up, and he used the word euros. That would be part of their new financial system should nuclear war break out. And that would cover both the United States and Europe. Clinton wanted to do the Mero.
Where'd you go, Peter? Looks like he got knocked off. That's what happens when you talk about certain things. All right, we'll see if he gets to get the log back on. We are running a little over tonight, but that's okay. Just waiting to see if we're going to get a respond. Okay. Well, I can do a little thing. Let's see if we can. What can I do with that?
In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war? And the threat of war.
Well, I don't know what happened to Peter. He got knocked off, just totally off. I can't even communicate with him via text. So I guess we're going to have to end the show tonight without Peter. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Greatly appreciate it. We are a little over, and I can't seem to get a hold of him, so I'm not sure what happened on his end. I'll be on Saturday night, and I'll have Carrie Cassidy with me from the Camelot Project, and that's going to be a very, very interesting conversation. So if you're not busy Saturday night, 9 o'clock, you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, same places as you can find Peter, and should be very interesting. Good night, everybody. Wish you well. God bless.